June is here, which means it's finally time to reach for your summer wardrobe. And if you're trying to look good without overheating, Quince is your best bet. Their summer collection has all the warm weather staples, breathable linen, washable silk, and soft organic cotton. I now own their 100% linen pants in more colors than I'd like to admit. And the best part is that you get all that quality without the luxury markup. Everything at Quince is priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Quince works directly with ethical factories and cuts out the middlemen, so you're paying for quality, not brand markup. And it's not just clothing. Quince has become a destination for elevated essentials across the home, from kitchen to bedding, making it easy to bring a more premium feel into everyday life. Elevate your summer wardrobe. Go to quince.com/campus for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada too. That's quince.com/campus for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/campus.
The days are longer, the calendar's filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grooms. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber. So I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing. They're easy to toss in my bag on the go. Plus, they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA FSA eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grooms.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
In 2022, America's largest bank, JP Morgan, took an unusual step by suing their former employee, then 31-year-old Charlie Javis. For years, Charlie was seen as a sort of wunderkind, an entrepreneurial genius. She founded multiple companies, raised millions of dollars, and even sold her second startup, a college financial aid tool called Frank, to JP Morgan. But less than a year after the sale, she and JP Morgan would face off in court, with Charlie even facing claims of fraud and conspiracy.
The story of a young tech entrepreneur facing criminal charges now. The 31-year-old is accused of fraud for allegedly trying to lure JP Morgan Chase so it would acquire her college financial planning startup for $175 million.
Many were left stunned and confused. Charlie had been vocal in advocating for students and trying to help make the financial aid process easier. But somehow she ended up facing fraud charges. I'm Ian Mont. This week on Campus Files, Frankly Fraud, the $175 million scam.
I'm Louisa Beltran. I'm a reporter in New York. I've been a financial journalist for over 20 years. Much of my focus has been on private equity, where we get to cover or report on very colorful executives.
In 2022, Louisa was a reporter at Fortune, specifically covering mergers and acquisitions, or M&A for short.
While you're a reporter at Fortune, what do you recall as the first time you heard about Charlie Javis?
Well, I remember my editor told me to cover the case, and I was like, JP Morgan is suing this young woman who is head of this company, this startup that they bought. You could tell from the lawsuit that it was just like no holds barred. They were going after her. And it was interesting because JP Morgan typically doesn't do stuff like that, or at least not that I've covered.
Because this was such an unusual situation, Louisa got straight to work trying to figure out who Charlie Javis is.
So initially, when I started reporting on Charlie, I assumed that she was just this rich girl from the suburbs. But then I went to go visit where she actually lived, and I was really shocked. I went out to Mamaroneck, which is a beautiful suburb. But a lot of suburbs, there's the good part and then the middle class part and then the other parts where the normal people live, like the cops and the people, you know, the secretaries. And you would think that Charlie would be in the rich part, but she wasn't. And I remember standing there looking at the house and I was like, oh, I probably would have lived in this house if I'd grown up here.
But through the private school she attended, the French American School of New York, or FASNY for short, Charlie did have access to an especially good education.
Classes are small. I think Charlie had like 20 or 30 people in her graduating class in high school. Her family was very committed to making sure that Charlie got a good education. And there was a very big push to make sure that she was very strong on extracurriculars for her college application. I think her mother's been quoted that Charlie helped found the soup kitchen when she was 7 or something, which is crazy. And she's done a lot of other things. You know, she founded a startup called PowerUp.
It was clear that either by parental guidance or personal motivation or a bit of both, Charlie was drawn to the founder lifestyle. Her FASNY classmates described her as a hard worker and a good talker. Charlie's first startup, PowerUp, was an online microfinance platform. Here's Charlie in an old video describing the company.
So PowerUp is a student microfinance and social business action platform for students to really learn, connect, and invest in microfinance and social business. So pretty much,
it's a little bit hard to explain, but basically, it was an online network designed to facilitate small investments in under-resourced parts of the world. It's based on the idea that a business person in somewhere like Myanmar would be able to start a business for far less money than in the US. Charlie described it as a way to promote social entrepreneurship around the world. It was this idea that actually helped Charlie get into the prestigious Wharton School of Business.
If you want to go to Wall Street, if you want to go into finance, Wharton is the place to go.
Wharton also offered a special entrepreneurial program called the Venture Initiation Program, or VIP for short. It's a startup incubator catering to Wharton's most ambitious entrepreneurs.
And you have to be allowed in. And so it was uncommon for a freshman to get in, but Charlie did, based on the strength of PowerUp. You know, Charlie, if you've ever heard her talk, she's a wonderful speaker.
While a student at Wharton, Charlie got a special opportunity for a Thiel Fellowship.
Peter Thiel in venture capital is one of the biggest names. He's one of the founders of PayPal. But one of the things that he did was about 10 years ago, he offered a scholarship to like rising tech entrepreneurs, like young tech people. They didn't have to go to college. They could just, you know, focus on their startups and he would give you money. And at the time, people were like, oh no, that's horrible. That's horrible. People need to go to school. But he did it.
PowerUp landed Charlie on the list of finalists in 2012. And part of that process was filmed for a CNBC special.
We need to foster a new generation of innovators.
We want to get more smart people involved in technology. So we created a fellowship.
We're looking for people who have really big vision for the future.
Charlie made a name for herself with producers and staff during the taping of this special, but unfortunately not in a good way. According to reporting, one challenge involved a sort of scavenger hunt in teams. Charlie's team opted to split up in order to move faster, but Charlie apparently didn't even attempt any clues. She just went shopping at the mall instead.
Does anyone know who went shopping
during the scavenger hunt?
Well, someone like went and like got a coffee and something else.
And you think it was Charlie?
She'd be like, who needs to play silly games when we can go shopping in San Francisco? Yeah.
In the second episode, competitors were presented with a sort of Shark Tank style pitch. They had 2 minutes to describe their ideas in front of Thiel fellows, founders, and investors. Each competitor was specifically directed to stand at a podium and speak into the microphone. But Charlie ignored these directions and walked straight to the center of the stage. For some time, she spoke to an audience that couldn't hear her.
You know, we specifically told everyone you have to stand behind the podium to be able to be heard because the mic is not going to pick you up. And yet she still tried to not stand behind the podium. And she was like, can everyone hear me? And people are shaking their head like, no, we can't hear you. I thought I had
nice shoes. The judges got really mad at her because they gave her some directions. She wouldn't follow it. And then when, you know, they had that one task, she just leaves.
What do you make of that? Because it seems like Charlie would recognize that this is a very important moment. Do you have any sense why she acted that way in that situation?
So she's young and she's extremely smart. And so her whole life, you know, people have been telling her how talented she is. I get the sense from Charlie, she's essentially a good person, but nobody has ever really told her, maybe you shouldn't do that. And so she's there. She's at this 20 under 20 fellowship contest. She's already done a startup. She's traveled all over the world. She's raised money. She knows what to do. She's probably there sitting, do I really need this?
Charlie didn't win the fellowship, but that was no problem. She was soon going to dive into her next project, Frank. But what nobody knew at the time was that this project would likely put an end to her career as an entrepreneur and would blow up into a massive scandal.
Everyone learns a language for different reasons. Maybe you want to watch K-dramas without subtitles or talk with family members in their native language. Your life is unique. Your language learning should be too. Rosetta Stone, the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years, just launched Rosetta Stone Sapphire, a new app that combines its proven immersion method with the latest innovation in technology to help you learn faster, personalize your lessons, and have more fun along the way. Most language apps teach the same generic topics. Sapphire helps you focus on what you actually want to talk about, whether that's travel, family, work, or your favorite hobbies. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. You'll get unlimited access to all 25 Rosetta Stone languages, plus all the new Sapphire learning tools. Visit rosettastone.com/audio to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/audio and start learning a language for real.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. As we approach America's 250th anniversary, now might be the time to go back and learn how we got here. With more than 200 episodes, you can binge your way, decade by decade, defining event to defining event, from the founding into the 20th century. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Isn't it crazy that America is turning 250 years old? I mean, look how far we've come. Now, we've got coolers in our sofas, light-up cup holders, and power-articulating headrests. When it comes to furniture worthy of this major milestone, Bob's Discount Furniture has all the styles all of America wants at the everyday low prices we deserve, backed by tons of five-star reviews. Check out the Sedona Power Reclining Sofa, a genuine leather one-stop shop for relaxation with built-in charging, cup holders, and supportive bobopedic seats, perfect for lounging in the AC all day. You can even complete the look with the matching love seat and recliner. Throwing summer parties, the HomeWorks dining set features comfy bobopedic seating and clever storage built right into the table and bench. Or customize your space with the customer favorite modular Bob sectional. It has over 1,000 five-star reviews, family-proof construction, and wireless charging for hundreds less than the competition. At only $250 per piece, building your dream sectional is incredibly affordable. Celebrate the 4th at Bob's. It's where America shops for furniture.
This is an acronym that looms large in the lives of many families. FAFSA, F-A-F-S-A. Mm-hmm.
But don't worry, we have someone here that can help us with everything that we need to know. Let us introduce you to Charlie Janfis, founder and CEO with Frank.org, a company that helps students with the financial aid process. Thank you so much for being here with us.
Charlie Javis founded Frank in 2016, and the goal was simple: help make student financial aid easier.
It's totally free. That's really important to us for all students to benefit from. So a student takes a picture of their tax returns, then we do all the tax math for you. So no math errors that can put you into very complicated verification, very simple language. We take a flow that might take hours with the federal government, and most students take 4 minutes with us.
Now, the whole reason for Frank was that Charlie Javis had to get financial aid in college, and she said it's wrong that people should not be able to go to college because they can't afford it. So she came out with a company to help people get financial aid.
According to interviews at the time, Frank was really working too. Charlie told the Daily Pennsylvanian that each student who used Frank saved an average of $7,000 in tuition. The idea was that Frank would simply apply for aid and then also negotiate with schools in order to get a better deal. She raised a total of just over $20 million in 3 rounds of funding. By 2021, she and everyone around her saw an opportunity.
In 2021, anything having to do with like payments or payment software was really, really hot. And if you were a founder with a startup and you wanted to sell your company, 2021 was the time to do it. So Charlie Javis decided in 2021 that she wanted to sell her company, which was Frank. So she hired a banker, which was Liontree, and she conducted a sales process. And during that sales process, JP Morgan initially looked at Frank and said no.
A lot of these acquisitions are a bit of a black box, so we don't know exactly what happened, but a couple things lead JP Morgan to reevaluate Frank. One of which was the personal involvement of Jamie Dimon, the chairman and CEO of JP Morgan.
Jamie Dimon is one of the most well-known and respected executives on Wall Street. His name is probably up there with Warren Buffett. So there was a meeting between Jamie Dimon and Charlie Javis. Jamie Dimon was very impressed with Charlie.
According to Luisa's reporting, at this point, Jamie Dimon takes a personal interest in acquiring Frank. So they began a process called due diligence.
It's a very standard process in M&A for a buyer to conduct due diligence on a target or a company that they're looking to buy. And so what JP Morgan did is that they had all their bankers or whoever does diligence for them, but was hundreds of executives, came in and looked at Frank's books.
The idea is that they want to know everything about the business before buying it. It's like getting a home inspection before buying a house. It's to make sure, is this a sound investment? The process is both crucial and intensive. In many cases, these investigations take months and involve hundreds of people and countless meetings. Frank goes through this process and gets a thumbs up.
Jamie Dimon declared last year he planned to get more aggressive in seeking takeovers, and he certainly made good on that promise with JP Morgan buying another financial startup. This time it's college financial planning platform, Frank.
So JP Morgan buys Frank in September 2021 for $175 million. As part of the deal, the co-founder and Charlie Javis and some of her employees join JP Morgan.
But only 1 year later, Charlie would be suspended and eventually fired. And soon after that, she and JP Morgan would be locked in an expensive court battle. That's after the break.
Not all electric vehicles are designed the same. Toyota Electric is built to work for you. Grounded in years of proven engineering, it feels intuitive from the start. The Toyota BZ for smooth, everyday driving. The BZ Woodland for all-terrain capability. The all-new CHR for an instant, responsive drive. It's not just electric, it's Toyota Electric. We make it easy. Toyota, let's go places.
Parles-tu français?
Hablas español?
Parle italiano.
If you've used Babbel, you would. Babbel's conversation-based technique teaches you useful words and phrases to get you speaking quickly about the things you actually talk about in the real world. With lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, Babbel is like having a private tutor in your pocket. Start speaking with Babbel today. Get up to 55% off your Babbel subscription right now at babbel.com/listen. Spelled babbel.com/listen. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This morning, Charlie Javis, founder of the financial and nonprofit Frank, could be facing up to 100 years in prison, accused of defrauding JP Morgan Chase out of millions.
In 2022, Charlie Javis sued the largest bank in the U.S. after her termination. And soon after that, Charlie was facing claims of fraud and even criminal charges. It was a dramatic turn of events for a wunderkind like Javis.
How did they discover that something was a little bit wrong with the due diligence?
Basically, they wanted Frank's customers because they were going to use that to like pitch JP Morgan products to them. Charlie Javis had claimed that Frank had 4.25 million customers. And I think it was January of 2022, they sent an email to those customers. 28% of the emails were delivered and just 1.1% were opened, which is a huge problem for Frank and for Charlie.
You may be thinking, oh, big whoop, it's just an email. But this was actually pretty major. As JP Morgan later argued in court, they purchased Frank in large part because they wanted access to their customers. According to JP Morgan, all through due diligence, Charlie said Frank had 4.25 million customers. For JP Morgan, that is a treasure trove. More than 4 million young adults on the way towards a college degree. 4 million possible lifelong customers. But when they sent out their first message to these 4 million customers, they found out only 28% were real emails.
So she claimed she had 4.265 million customers, but really she only had 300,000. And they had used synthetic data to basically make everything else up. And so did she lie? Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, Louisa just used the term synthetic data here. That's basically a fancy way of saying completely fake data.
During all this, when they were doing diligence, there was actually an executive there who would ask for the customer list. And so Charlie said, no, I cannot give that to you because of, you know, privacy issues, which is true. She can't give over her client list. So what she did is she hired a data scientist to basically fudge the numbers. And so they used synthetic data instead of using the exact names and the information of the people who actually did come to her website. They made it up.
And then the news broke. It was a major shock.
Up until this time, Charlie Javis has been in the media a lot. You know, she's been on CNBC multiple times. She's part of Forbes 30 Under 30. She wrote a piece for the New York Times talking about financial aid. She is a media celebrity because, you know, she's a 20-something with a startup that's doing well. Everybody loves Charlie Javis. And then JP Morgan sues her, and then everything changes.
The story was especially confusing for people who knew Charlie from childhood or college.
When the allegations came out from JP Morgan, a lot of her classmates stood by her because they were her friends. They believed her. But then as more of the story came out, they changed their minds. The fraud that Charlie committed was so obvious. They were pretty baffled because this is a very smart woman. For her to basically lie about the numbers so blatantly, they were just shocked by it.
In court, Charlie would later argue that JP Morgan really should have known that their real customer count was much lower.
That was her defense. Her defense was JP Morgan should have known.
Whatever you may think of this as a legal strategy, Louisa says Charlie had a point here.
They're a prolific fintech acquirer. It wasn't one or two people that did diligence. They had hundreds of people there looking at Frank's financials, Frank's customers, how much money they had raised, where they were situated. They had meetings and they couldn't figure out the fact that she only had 300,000 customers. So I'm an M&A reporter. I cover deals all the time. When I first saw this, I was like, yeah, JP Morgan must have known. As I was writing all this, I was just like, I think they did know. And I think they just didn't tell Jamie Dimon because he was so infatuated with Frank. But I have no way of proving that.
Louisa wasn't the only person that felt this way. As puzzling as Charlie's actions are, JP Morgan's are almost more puzzling. While presentations from Frank said they had 4.25 million customers, no less than seven separate times, there were a number of other details which should have raised questions about that stat. Details an army of experienced staff at JP Morgan arguably should have spotted. Mark Rowan, a giant on Wall Street and one of Frank's early investors, even went to court to personally testify in support of Charlie.
Mark Rowan was he's the co-CEO of Apollo. He invested in Frank. So Mark Rowan came to Charlie Javis's defense. He actually went to the courthouse and he, you know, testified on behalf of Charlie Javis.
Charlie's team actually opened their defense with Mark Rowan's testimony. He spoke about his favorable view of Charlie, but stopped short of laying all the blame on JP Morgan. He did not attempt to defend Charlie's purchase of synthetic data.
I was like, that's amazing. You know, there's this whole group on Wall Street that are wondering why JP Morgan didn't look harder. That's Charlie Davis's defense. It's all JP Morgan's fault. They should have known better. And so is that a defense, though? She's basically admitting that she committed fraud and that it's on the duty of the buyer to figure it out, which is not how the law works.
Charlie was ultimately sentenced to 7 years in prison and ordered to forfeit more than $22 million. She and her co-founder are also ordered to pay nearly $290 million in restitution. It's unclear how much of this money Charlie can actually pay back, though. Most recently, she was working as a Pilates instructor in Florida. JP Morgan, for their part, has not come out unscathed. Charlie was able to successfully argue in court that the terms of her employment with JP Morgan meant they should cover her legal fees. The judge agreed and ordered JP Morgan to pay Charlie's legal fees of more than $100 million for their case against her. It's been a mess for everyone involved. A lot has been made of the story of Charlie Javis. Another young founder, someone on the Forbes 30 Under 30, accused of fraud, This story came shortly after the stories of Elizabeth Holmes, Sam Bankman-Fried, and Caroline Ellison, all young founders found guilty of fraud. Charlie's story is another example of that, in a way. But Louisa argues it's a bit more complicated than that. Charlie's often compared specifically to Elizabeth Holmes, the founder of Theranos.
Elizabeth Holmes, former CEO of Theranos, who has been convicted of fraud, is set to report to prison this week to start serving her 11-year sentence. And then there's a new woman on the scene, Charlie Javis. She was a hotshot in the startup world.
Elizabeth Holmes, similar to Charlie Javis, you know, they're both white, they're both upper middle class. So she develops Theranos, which is, you know, supposed to revolutionize blood testing by using the, you know, the finger pricks, which is supposed to provide accurate tests. A lot of people relied on Theranos, and then it came out that Theranos was a fraud. It didn't do anything of what Elizabeth Holmes claimed. There were all these lawsuits. She ends up going to jail. Is this similar to Charlie? Yeah. Except, personally, I think Elizabeth Holmes, there's something wrong with her. She's crazy in certain respects. But I do not think that Charlie Javis is crazy. Not at all. I just think the arrogance of youth is Charlie Javis's disease. I just think Charlie sold her company too soon. Instead of selling to JP Morgan, she should have held back and just worked the company, made it better. But again, that takes maturity and foresight. Charlie took the money, and I think, you know, she probably thought she could fix it later, but JP Morgan found out and they fired her. And so I do not think she is like Elizabeth Holmes.
In your years covering this space, how does this story sort of fit in your understanding of Wall Street, fintech? What do you make of this story in the broader context of everything you know about this industry?
In my industry, I see a lot of people like Charlie. They come from really nice backgrounds. They go to the best schools, but they don't really have like real human experience, like going out and like, you know, having to find your first job, maybe working at a grocery checker or you know, a secretary or something. They never have that experience of working with regular people. And so when they do something shady, a lot of them, they're kind of stunned when they get caught doing something wrong. And they don't think they should be held to the same laws as everybody else. You know, Charlie's just like everybody else on Wall Street, I think. Very, very smart. I don't think she's an evil person. I just don't think she understood that committing fraud would have such a big impact on her life that she would get caught.
If you've got a story idea, we would love to hear about it. Send us an email at campusfilespod@gmail.com. And if you're loving this podcast, be sure to click follow on your favorite podcast app so you never miss an episode. While you're there, leave us a review and a 5-star rating. Campus Files is an Odyssey original podcast hosted by Margot Gray and Ian Mont. Our executive producers are Leah Reese-Dennis and Lloyd Lockridge. Campus Files is produced by Ian Mont and Margot Gray. Sound design and engineering by Andy Jaskowitz and Zach Clark. Legal support by Laura Berman and Melissa Jean. Original music by Davey Sumner. Special thanks to Maura Curran, Josephina Francis, Hilary Schuff, Eric Donnelly, Kate Hutchison-Rose, Sean Cherry, Kurt Courtney, and Lauren Vieira.
Hey, it's Anna Sale, host of Death, Sex, and Money, the show from Slate about the things we think about a lot and need to talk about more. Many of us have something going on behind closed doors, like a listener we called Elizabeth, who told us she's a hoarder.
I see mess beyond probably what most people think of when they think of mess.
We'll work through it all together on Death, Sex, and Money. Listen wherever you get podcasts.